Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Today's podcast stars detectives, the detectives of old-time radio, but it's new old-time radio. This was in the waning hours of network radio when these were made. We're going to listen to a few shows you may not have heard of before. We'll start off with Crime and Peter Chambers. This is titled Charles Avon, Druggist, from April 13th, 1954.
Crime and Peter Chambers. Created by Henry Kane, transcribed and starring Dane Clark. A private investigator, duly licensed and duly sworn. Peter Chambers.
You're a private eye. That's your business. Anything else? That's for laughs. The guy on the customer's end of your office desk, no laughs here. This one is strictly business. He's a round little man, balding on top, pudgy in the middle. He's got eyes like a vulture and a cranky voice.
Mr. Chambers, you've been highly recommended to me. You're supposed to be number one in your racket.
He chuckles with a phony heartiness, and the eyes crinkle up, vulture's eyes, with an extra set of bags under them. The upper set are dark bulbous circles from lack of sleep. The lower set are worry bags, purple and networked with wrinkles.
I'm out on a writ of habeas corpus, Mr. Chambers.
Yeah, and on a murder rap.
They haven't got a thing
now,
on me.
Now, just a minute, pal. Let's get some of our facts ironed out. Your name is Charles Avon.
Uh-huh.
You're a druggist here in New York.
Right.
You're married and you've got no kids.
Correct. Wife's name is Nancy. Lives 1688 Gramercy Park North.
All right, now let's get to the meaty part. You're accused of the murder of one Alan Lewis.
Yeah.
Used to be a clerk in your drugstore.
That's right.
Police claim you killed him Monday, which is yesterday, yesterday evening, at his Park Avenue apartment. Park Avenue?
Yeah, so they claim.
Well, did you kill him, Mr. Avon?
Absolutely not. Mm.
And my job?
Is to find out who did kill him, so that I don't have to carry that burden around, too.
What's the other burden, Mr. Avon?
Well, there are two sides to every question. In my business, I don't...
All right, we'll skip that temporarily. Now, let's see. The cops hauled you in for the murder of your clerk.
Ex-clerk. He hadn't been working for me for a year. Living off the fat of the land.
Why'd they pick on you, Miss Avon?
Because I was supposed to be there last night at 8 o'clock. That's when it happened to him. And also, I'm supposed to have a motive for his murder.
Well, did you have a motive?
Well, if a guy's been blackmailing you for a year...
Blackmail? What do you have on you, Mr. Avon?
Well, now, I don't know that I...
Ma, let's have it.
Well, narcotics.
Narcotics?
We had a deal going, sort of, with the narcotics. The lawyer knows all about it.
I want to know.
Well, I was looking for easy money, and I'm doing all right. This Alan Lewis, he learns about it. He was working for me, you understand, and he starts holding me up.
And so last night, when he's murdered...
I came there to talk with him, but he wasn't home. That's all, he wasn't home. Then last night, the police picked me up, and I don't even know what they're talking about.
Who's your lawyer?
Richard Evans, Dick Evans. Oh. You know him?
Yeah, I know Dick.
Mr. Chambers, you've got to help me out of this jam.
Not the narcotics, pal.
No, the murder.
And it'll cost you 5,000 simoleons.
Yeah. That's fair enough.
Cash on the barrel head. I don't trust guys like you.
Okay, but I don't have it on me. If you'll accompany me to the bank,
I can't say I admire my choice of companion.
You're an insulting
Let's
one,
go,
aren't
Mr. Avon. We'll discuss it on the way. You get to the bank and you're paid, and you kiss him off like you'd kiss off a king cobra that just became a client. But if the guy's not guilty of murder, it's your job to prove it. That's what you're being paid for. So you get rid of him, and you go downtown to the offices of B. Richard Evans, Regal, Legal, Eagle. Hi, honey. Mr. Evans in?
I'm in. All right, Pete. Come on. I've been expecting you.
Hi, Dick. How are things going?
Fine, Petey. Come right on in.
Okay. Dick Evans, boy lawyer. Black hair, beak nose, and cyclone cellar voice. A two-tone personality split at 5 o'clock. Tricky as a slippery bath mat before the deadline, but afterward, wide open and roaring. A wielder of martinis, like a good farmer with a pitchfork.
What brings you, Mr. Detective?
Charles Avon, Dick. How easy was it getting him out on that writ?
Easier than getting stepped on the subway.
Because why, Counselor?
Because the prosecution doesn't have a thing on it.
Well, they got motive.
Motive isn't murder, Mr. Chambers.
Well, how'd that guy get it, that Alan Lewis?
Two bullets. One ripped through his right shoulder, rather unimportant. The second one pasted in over his right eye. Very important.
Prosecution got the gun?
No, sir, they don't. All they got is motive, period. They gave him a 9-hour grilling, and all they could come up with was motive.
Okay. Now, what about the other charge?
What other charge?
The narcotics.
Well, I'm going to plead him guilty on that. He ought to get a light sentence, because without Alan Lewis, they've hardly got a case.
Well, here comes motive again for the death of Alan Lewis.
Well, the police know all about that. How much good has it done them?
By the way, how do they know? Who told them?
Frankie Tokers.
Frankie Tokers. Male or female?
Female, but good and female. You're going to like that when you come to it.
I like it already, just from looking at your face.
Have another slice of motive, Mr. Chambers. This one's on Frankie. She was engaged to Alan Lewis.
That's motive?
Not yet, it's not, but this is. She's the beneficiary on his insurance policy for $30,000. Plus, she's the one who informed the police that the Lewis boy was putting the touch on Avon for the blackmail.
Well, how'd she know?
Her boyfriend confided in her.
Oh. Well, how'd she stand suspect-wise?
Oh, she's got an alibi, don't they all?
Frankie Togan.
A very gorgeous number. He sings at the Rumpus Room with an equally gorgeous blonde partner with whom you will kindly have no truck.
Why?
Because that one is sort of reserved for me.
Do you have this Frankie Toker's phone number, Dick?
Got it written down somewhere. Name, address, and phone number. Ah, here you are.
Thanks.
Yeah. Three, cute little trick. Five, that's Frankie.
Hello?
Miss Toker's?
This is Miss Toker's.
Collins from the insurance company. There's been a slight complication. May I come to see you?
Well, when?
Oh, right away. The sooner the better.
Well, all right, if you insist. I should be here most of the afternoon.
Ah, good. I'll see you shortly, then. Bye, Miss Toker's. So you leave the lawyer and you go visit the lady. This is supposed to be the part the private eye enjoys, but don't make book on that. Because most of the dear ladies turn out to look like bats on a vacation from the Belfry. This one happily doesn't. Miss Toker's?
Yes, I'm Miss Toker's.
Mr. Collins from the insurance company.
Oh, yes. Please come in.
Frankie Toker's. She's wearing a hostess gown, a metallic number in gold. Imagine that wrapped around a dream-bunched figure. Frankie Toker's. Tall, with an oval face and wide, dark eyes that glint like brandy bottles under bar lights. You don't fool around with a kid like that.
Mr. Collins?
I'm sorry. My name's not Collins, Miss Toker's, and I'm not from the insurance company. My name's Chambers, Peter Chambers. I'm a private detective. And they tell me that you're on a spot.
Get out.
Now, just a minute.
Get out. Get out, I tell you.
Look, lady. I think you've got me pegged wrong.
Please. Oh, please.
You explain the situation, and tears come up in the blackberry brandy eyes. Naturally, you put your arm around her, just as naturally, she puts her head on your shoulder. A sobbing brunette close in the arms of the private detective. There you have the classic situation. But you've been paid $5,000 to find out who killed Cock Robbins, so reluctantly you break it up. No. I know how you feel, Miss Toker's. You love the guy, but he's dead.
Not true.
Huh?
I hated him.
You were engaged to be married, weren't you?
That was going to end when I found out what he was really like.
And whose idea was that $30,000 life policy with you as beneficiary?
His, of course. But that was going to be finished, too.
Hmm.
Mr. Chambers, I couldn't tell the police, but I will tell you.
Why?
Because I want you to help me.
Look, sister, you didn't kill him, did you?
Oh, no. Listen, last night, the night he was killed, I went there. I was going to tell him off and finish it off completely.
What time?
9:00. It was between shows. I'm a singer at the Rumpus Room.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, when I got there, there was no answer. I kept ringing, but there was no answer, and I was worried. I went back to the club, and I called on the phone. No answer. Then I called the police and told them that there was trouble there. I didn't say who was calling.
Now, wait a minute. Hold up just for a minute. First, Why the police, just because the guy's not home? And second, how did you know there was trouble there?
Because I knew that he had an appointment with Mr. Charles Avon for 8 o'clock. And it was going to be a long talk. And I knew what the talk was about.
And what was it about?
About more money. More blackmail money.
Oh, I see. It figured for a trouble party, huh?
Yes.
And when the guy didn't answer at 9 o'clock, was your idea that the trouble had exploded?
Exactly. And 1 hour after the phone call, the police were at the club, investigating the murder of Alan Lewis. I told them everything I knew about the narcotics that Mr. Avon was dealing in and about Alan's blackmail and about how he was going to raise the ante at this meeting between them.
Well, it answers why Charles Avon was picked up. What about your alibi?
I fixed that up with my singing partner. I arranged for her to say that I'd been with her all the time in our dressing room. But I'm scared, Mr. Chambers. I'm sick scared inside of me. Help me. Please help me.
Oh, Miss Tokers, I'd hate it if you did put those slugs into Alan.
I didn't. Oh, I didn't.
She's asking for it. And you answer. You take her face in your hands, put your lips on hers, and you leave them there. With excellent results. But then you quit. You crash out of there and you're heading for police headquarters. But you detour for Charles Avon's drugstore.
Good to see you again, Mr. Chambers.
Hi, I was thinking I might want to drop into your home tonight. Would you be there perhaps later on?
No, but my wife will. Oh, you don't know her. Oh, she's here right now. I'd very much like to have you meet her. Nancy?
Yes?
My dear, Peter Chambers, the gentleman I told you about. My wife, Nancy Avon.
She's a small blonde, too young and too pretty for Charlie Boy. She's wearing gold-rimmed black lens goggles and you can't see her eyes. She's smooth-skinned and good-looking, but jumpy, nervous as a lion tame who's lost his whip.
Did you wish to speak to me, Mr. Chambers?
Very much, but I don't have the time now. May I speak with you later?
Of course, but I'm leaving for home now.
Well, may I call you there?
Well, it's a little upset. It's Maid's Day off, but if you wish...
I wish. See you later. Bye, Mr. and Mrs. Avon. And so you're riding your broom again, making time for police headquarters, and then you're there.
Come in. Well, Pete, what do I owe the honor?
Charles Avon, Louis, a paid-up client.
So? Maybe you think you can do more than cops can do, huh?
I doubt it, but I can try. Detective Lieutenant Louis Parker, homicide. Thick set and sturdy like a brand-new refrigerator and just about as enthusiastic. But a good cop. And mostly a good friend.
What's pitch?
I'm being paid $5,000 to find out who put the chill on Alan Lewis.
Well, $5,000 to do what we'd do anyway, huh? Brother, yours is one business. Okay, what do you want?
Help.
That's hot. You're getting 5 G's. What do we get?
Well, any information that happens to fall my way, and no byline, you get all the credit. You buying?
What do you want, kid?
Well, I'd like to see the inside of Alan Lewis's apartment.
I'll buy that. In fact, I'll go with you.
Got a cop staked out there?
Nobody's staked out there. I've got better things to do with cops than have them sitting around getting fat. Okay, what else?
Anything else that's not too terribly confidential?
Not this case, Petey. We got us a nice fat group of nothing.
Well, then that's it, Lieutenant. Let us go look at apartments. Alan Lewis's joint turns out to be the usual bachelor's flat fitted out to please the ladies. Parker snoozes in the bedroom while you poke around like a critical matron seeking dust in the upholstery. In the library, a book sticks out like a sore thumb in a working pickpocket. You pull it out and an envelope drips to the floor. You pick that up and examine it. It slid on top and it contains a letter. It's addressed to Mrs. Nancy Avon, 1688 Gramercy Park, North New York City. You don't stop to read the letter. You stick it in your pocket and you're ready to leave. Then Parker comes into the room yawning.
You finished, Sherlock?
All done. Let's get out of here. By the way, I assume you guys gave this place a going over.
Yeah, most of last night. Been through this apartment with a fine-tooth comb.
Yeah, a fine-tooth comb.
Hey, is that a crack?
No crack intended, Lieutenant. Leave us leave.
Yeah, leave us.
Outside, Parker goes off and you're left alone. Frankie Toker's place is nearby and... Well, maybe you're looking for an excuse to go back.
Hello, Mr. Chambers.
Oh, may I come in?
Please do.
You bring her up to date, you take the letter out of the envelope, and you read. Dear Nancy, finished is finished. Now you've got it in writing. I don't see the sense, but if you insist, you can come over Monday at 7:30. You can't stay long. As it happens, I have a date with Charles for 8 o'clock. Yours, Alan.
The date matches. Monday, yesterday.
The night he was killed.
That letter puts her right in the middle, doesn't it?
Say, do you know anything about these two, Nancy Avon and Alan Lewis?
She was sweet on him, and he encouraged her.
Oh?
Charlie Avon didn't even know it was cooking, but she was planning to divorce him. And then Alan Lewis cooled off.
You mean, when he met you?
He'd have cooled off anyway. That's the kind of guy he was. Real loyal. Shot through with integrity.
Well, how'd she take it, you know?
He told me. She was plenty worked up over it.
Okay, Miss Tokers. Frankie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you cross your fingers, and if I'm lucky, you're out of a jam.
Oh, I'd appreciate that. Would I appreciate that?
You figure your next stop for your last stop. 1688 Gramercy Park North.
Oh. Oh, Mr. Chambers. Please come in.
Mrs. Avon. She's dressed in Chinese-type lounging pajamas, and she's not wearing the dark lens specs. You look at her eyes, and a chill goes through you like winter's suddenly gotten into the marrow of your bones. Wild eyes, quick-moving, darting, half-mad eyes. The pupils dilated almost to the rim.
Something, Mr. Chambers?
A few questions.
Questions? Why questions of me?
Well, I've got a hunch I've stumbled on something the police don't know.
Like what?
Like you had a thing going with Alan Lewis. Your husband, you hope, didn't know about it.
But I...
There are letters. You saved them. Right, Mrs. Avon?
Yes.
You were there last night?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Avon. Now, where's the gun? Do you have it?
You say the police don't know. Perhaps, I mean, I have
Look,
money.
Look, I'm one of the dumb ones. I'm allergic to bribery. Now, where's the gun?
I have it. It's hidden here, hidden in the apartment.
Will you get it, please?
Yes. Yes, I'll get it. It's my own gun.
You wait while she goes for it, and you don't like it. But you haven't got the time to work it out now, because she's coming back, and she's carrying the thing, a chunky nickel-plated item. And she's holding it, business end forward. You get a scratched hip and a hole in your pants. And you're all ready to slug her, but you don't have to, because she slides down in a faint. You get the gun away from her, find brandy, pour a lot into her, and a little into yourself. And finally, she starts coming to.
I fainted.
You certainly did, lady.
I'm ill. I'm under the care of a psychiatrist. Gunshot, the sound of gunshot. One shot, and I pass out. Even if I do it myself, I pass out.
What happened last night?
Almost like it happened here. I was there before he was, and when he came, we argued. I brought the pistol, I was wearing my gloves, and I shot him. And then I fainted. When I came to, I saw he was dead, and I got out of there.
John, just a minute. You say you were there before he was? How'd you get in?
I have keys.
You get her to an easy chair, and you call down to Parker at headquarters. You put in a request for a lot of the law, and also for Mr. Charles Avon. Pretty soon, the place is crawling with cops, and you point a finger, and to Lieutenant Parker, you say, I give you a murderer, Lieutenant.
But you've got it wrong. You're mistaken.
No mistake. It's just where my finger's pointing. I give you, Lieutenant, Mr. Charles Avon.
This guy's nuts.
A lot of things he is. Nuts he ain't. Go on,
no.
Pete.
Here's a guy who comes in and hires me for $5,000 for something the New York City police can do much better and for nothing.
You're stealing my lines, chump.
But the guy's not crazy. He's got a purpose. He's also got a large contempt for the thoroughness of the police, which I haven't.
Start making sense, Petey boy.
Read this. You toss the letter to Detective Lieutenant Parker, and the room is as quiet as a cemetery until he's through reading it.
So?
I found that letter from Mrs. Avon to Alan Lewis. I found it in Lewis's apartment.
Now, wait a minute. We gave that place an extra special going over. That letter wasn't there.
You don't have to convince me. Convince Charles Avon. That baby goes and sees the wrong movies. He's got no confidence in cops.
No question. The letter wasn't there.
But I found it there, so it adds up to plant. Somebody planted it there, wanted it found there. Somebody wanted to implicate Mrs. Nancy Avon.
Who?
Who had access to her mail? Huh? Friend husband, that's who.
No.
Why do you think he hired me? So I could bumble around and find a few things he wanted me to find. Like frustrated love, like that letter, like maybe a confession from Mrs. Avon, which I got.
She confessed?
Doesn't mean a thing. Let me do it chronologically, will
do
you, Pete?
Do it any way you like, pal.
Nancy Avon goes there at 7:30 to keep her date.
Yeah.
She brings her gun because the young guy's giving her the air. She waits for him, he comes, they argue, she shoots him, and she faints. One shot.
But the guy had two bullet holes in him.
Correct. But here's how he got the second. Charles Avon's got a hate for both of them, for Alan and for Nancy. Alan's been blackmailing him, plus the wife is sweet on Alan. He's been steeping open her mail, and he knows she's going to meet him last night, so he follows. He follows, hoping against hope for action, and action happens.
And then?
He gets in there, he sees Alan bleeding from the shoulder wound, and the wife in a faint on the floor. He picks up the gun, finishes off Alan, wipes the prints off, puts it back in her hand, and vamooses. She comes to, sees the dead Alan, and she gets out convinced that she killed him.
And then we pick up Charlie on the strength of Miss Toker's story, but the lawyer gets him sprung on a writ.
Right. So this morning, he goes to Lewis's apartment, and he sticks that letter where it can't be missed.
No,
real contempt he has for the efficiency of cops, hasn't he? Anyway, he hires me so I can clean up some loose ends and lay the whole deal in the lady's lap. The minute I saw that letter, I knew it was a plant. It happens that I've got respect for cops. They'd never miss that kind of evidence.
One great big catch.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say.
What?
How did he get in there twice? Once to croak the guy and once to plant the letter.
Correct.
Mrs. Avon had keys. Mr. Avon made duplicates. He figured he'd have use for them sooner or later. Well, he used them all right, and by now he's disposed of them. But he hasn't disposed of the key maker.
Meaning what?
Meaning that when a guy swipes his wife's keys to make duplicates, he doesn't go far. So you can demonstrate to Mr. Avon about the efficiency of cops by producing, and with dispatch, the neighborhood key maker who did the job, and that will put the final finger on Mr. Charles Avon.
No, I didn't.
All right, Mr. Avon.
That does it. Charles Avon goes white and topples, and when he gets up, the manacles are around his wrist, and he's babbling his brains out. Lawyer or no lawyer, this time he's going to get locked away for good.
Nice work. Grade A job, Petey. Congratulations.
Well, now. Appreciation from a detective lieutenant to a private eye, that's sweet music indeed. But you start breaking out of there because you're heading for Frankie Toker's place. Appreciation from Detective Lieutenant Parker, good enough. But appreciation from Miss Frankie Toker's, well, no.
And there you've had Crime and Peter Chambers. Dane Clark was starred as Peter Chambers. Crime and Peter Chambers transcribed was created and written by Henry Kane. Bill Zuckert was heard as Lieutenant Parker with Leslie Woods, Edgar Staley, and Lawson Zerbe. It was directed by Fred Way. This is Fred Collins inviting you to tune in next week, same time, same station, for Dane Clark in Crime and Peter Chambers. Hear the Oppenheimer story on Heart of the News tonight on the NBC Radio Network.
Crime and Peter Chambers, Charles Avon, druggist, from 1954. That was supposedly set in New York. We're going to cross the country now, all the way out to San Francisco for our next show. This is called It's a Crime, Mr. Collins. This was debuting in Mutual for one season in 1956. The episode is titled Pink Lady, and here we go.
It's a crime, Mr. Collins.
It surely is. After all, how would you feel if you found that your husband had a fan, and then found out that the fan belonged to a fan dancer? Yes, it's Gail Collins here, and in a moment I'll be back to set the stage for our puzzling crime.
It's a crime, Mr. Collins.
So you found out Greg had a fan, but the fan belonged to a fan dancer.
That's right, Jack.
Well, Gail, I guess you've just got to accept the fact your husband's a guy who gets around.
I do. After all, he's a private detective, so I've got to expect it.
But I guess you were pretty angry about the fan, I mean.
Angry? Oh, no, you've got it wrong. I felt sort of sentimental about it.
Hey, wait a minute. I thought you were jealous or something. Now you say that...
I guess I'd better put you straight. You see, Greg and I had gone out celebrating. Oh, I forget what, but there we were in a nightclub, relaxing like we hadn't for a long time.
You want to know something? With a dame like you, I should dance with my eyes closed.
Why don't you? I am.
Because in a joint as crowded as this, I might end up with some other dame.
That proves you don't love me. I'd know right off I wasn't dancing with the right man, even with my eyes closed.
Yeah?
Oh, the feel of your suit, the way your back muscles bunch when you go around a corner, the feel of your cheek on mine, the weight of your foot on my... Ouch! Instep.
Well, what should I do? Send for Arthur Murray?
Tell him to bring his own girl. I don't want anyone to play gooseberry at this party.
Yeah?
Music stopped.
Well, should I leave off dancing just because the band plays too fast?
Idiot. Here, come and sit down. People are looking. Oh, Greg, how long is it since we spent a night like this?
About 4 murders. I figure it rates another bottle of champagne. You see, I'm trying to break you down. I may even ask you to marry me later.
You'll have to see my father.
I've seen your father. I still want to marry you. Well, what do you know? The management doesn't trust us. They put a bid on our table already. Maybe they give you 2 bills just to break it gently.
Well, of all the cheek. I've got a good mind to go to some other place.
What the... Gail, this isn't a bill. It's a note, and it says, if you're the Greg Collins I think you are, I can use you. You better come back right away.
Come back? You haven't been anywhere. Who wrote that note?
Lola the Pink Lady.
What?
I tell you, that's what it says. Lola the Pink Lady.
I got a feeling you're being ribbed.
Look around. Can you see any of our pals here who... Ah, so that's who it is. Gail, look at that photograph over near the piano. The shot of the blonde and all the feathers.
Lola the Pink Lady, twice nightly. I don't get it.
Well, I do. Lola's a fan dancer here. She wants us to go back to her dressing room. That is, if I'm the Greg Collins she thinks I am. And if I'm the Greg Collins I think I am, I'd never pass up the chance to meet a fan dancer.
Yeah? Who is it? If that's you, Huey, I don't...
It's Greg Collins here, Miss Loder. I got a note that says...
Mr. Collins. Oh, just a minute. The door's locked. Gosh, Mr. Collins, I didn't think you'd come back. I honestly didn't.
Well, you better take a good look at me, lady. I mightn't be the Greg Collins you want.
Well, if you're the private detective, you're the one.
Well, that lets us in, I guess. This is my wife, Gail. Miss Lola... Miss...
Lola Cassidy. Hello, Mrs. Collins. Come in.
Oh, thanks, Miss Cassidy.
I'm sorry my room's in such a mess, but what with doing a scarf dance, a fan dance, and a bubble dance all in one night, I don't know if I'm Isadora Duncan, a bird, or 9 out of 10 Hollywood stars. Well, whatever I am, I'm in trouble, I know that.
You just take it easy, Miss Cassidy. Greg will take care of you.
Before we start, Miss Cassidy, I'd better explain there are some kinds of cases I don't handle.
Just so long as you handle murder, that's all I want.
He's wonderful at murder.
I didn't do it. I know what everyone will say, but I didn't do it.
You didn't do what, Miss Cassidy?
I didn't kill Abraham Lincoln.
No. No, I guess that's one rap you could beat.
If only I had an alibi, but I haven't.
Oh, no alibi, huh? Couldn't you just explain you weren't born then?
I don't think this is a very good time to make funny gags, Mr. Collins.
Well, Miss Cassidy, I figured...
Abraham Lincoln? Of course. It was in the papers. He's dead.
It was in my history book, too.
Oh, not that Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Jefferson Lincoln, the millionaire plane manufacturer. I saw it on the newspaper headlines when we were catching a cab tonight.
Headlines? Oh, you can say that again. Here, take a good look. It's like D-Day all over again.
So that's the Abe Lincoln you mean. Yeah, this is good stuff. Shot dead in his apartment in the stomach. Doctors figure he took 3 hours to die. Miss Cassidy, have the police accused you of this yet?
Not yet, but they're going to. You see, Abe and me were friends.
But if you were friends...
We were friends. We busted up. Oh, it was terrible. We had an awful fight right out in public at a party. And I said...
You threatened his life, huh?
I told him I was only sorry he'd probably die quickly. I said I thought you should die a slow, painful death.
You were friends?
Well, that's how I felt. He said he was going to marry me, and all the time he never had no intention. All the time he had one of them society dames out in Boston.
And because of your association with Lincoln, you figure the police will be around to see you.
I know it.
But you must have been here at the club when it happened.
I was home, sick. I thought I was getting the flu, so I stayed home last night. But how can I prove I stayed in all night?
No one can prove you're at Lincoln's.
Well, they can prove I might have been. I've got a key to his apartment.
A key?
I've still got it. About 2 months back, I was working at two different nightclubs in the one night. I used his apartment to change from one costume to the other. You see, the cab would wait for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I get it, honey. I get it. But look, aren't you beating the gun? If the police haven't even questioned you yet. Yeah, maybe I spoke too soon.
You think this is the police?
Well, it could be. I just don't know, but it could be, lady.
Oh, I hope not.
Are you there, Mrs. Cassidy? I'd like to see you for a moment.
Oh. I'm sorry, lady. It is the police.
Come in.
Hi there, Bonnie. Long time no see.
Colin.
Hello, Sergeant Barnett. How nice to see you.
Well, these days you're going to get into a case so fast, Collins, I'm going to find you with a smoking gun in your hand.
And I bet you make the mistake of arresting me.
We'll wait and see about that. Right now, when you talk about arrest, I'm only interested in Miss Cassidy.
Oh.
Slip into a bubble, honey. I guess you know where we're going.
I didn't kill him. I didn't kill him, and I'm not going to jail.
No, you don't.
Oh, stop me, Mr. Collins. Don't let him take me away.
Lola, give it up. You're not doing yourself any good.
Greg will help you, honey. He'll prove you didn't do it.
Who says she didn't? For a dame who's innocent, she's shedding all her feathers.
He was a nice guy, that Sergeant Barnett, but he didn't have Greg's imagination. On the other hand, not many hours later, Greg had imagination, but almost no head. So keep your ears pinned, friends. We'll be back in a moment with more of our story. A couple of hours after Sergeant Barnett had taken Lola Cassidy in for the murder of Abe Lincoln, we all met up again. All, that is, except Lola. Greg told Barnett he wanted to look at Lincoln's apartment, and Barnett said, sure, only he wanted to be there, too.
I might as well tell you both right now, his apartment isn't exactly a picture.
How do you mean, Sergeant?
The poor guy took a long time to die.
Has anything been touched, Bonnie?
Not a thing. Go on in. Of course, we dusted the joint for fingerprints. But nothing's been moved. What do you want to know?
Well, tell me how it happened.
Well, it's easy. He was shot here, from the front. Fell down and lay a while, then he dragged himself this way to the bedroom and died in there.
Oh, poor man.
The motive was probably jealousy. You know he told the Cassidy dame he was going to marry her.
So you're sure she did it?
I'm sure.
I'm not.
But then she's your client.
You want one good reason why she didn't kill Lincoln? Because she's a battler. She's a girl who makes a living in a tough racket. Kids like that, the hoofers, the strippers, the cigarette girls, they don't crack easily.
Who got here first, the girl or Lincoln?
It doesn't matter. She had a key. She didn't bust in. As a matter of fact, Lincoln was here when she arrived. There was a half-smoked cigar on the ashtray. See, it's still there.
The photographs I saw of his body, Lincoln was still dressed in his top coat and scarf.
Well, that's right. What about it, Sergeant Barnett? Did Lincoln sit around home in a coat and scarf?
Okay, so she was here when he arrived.
Smoking a cigar?
He was smoking it when he walked in. We put it down before she shot him.
What about this liquor cabinet over here? Who poured who a drink?
Ask the dame.
Yeah, it seems like they got through a lot of liquor. There's a bottle missing from this set. Every kind of alcohol except scotch.
It's on the lower shelf, Sherlock Holmes.
Eh? Oh, yeah.
Well, have you seen all you want to see?
Yeah, I guess so. By the way, I thought your men didn't move anything.
That's what I said.
Then Lincoln kept his footstool in a funny place. Usually you find a footstool in front of a chair. Kitchen's on the hearth under the mantelpiece.
And we found a salami sausage in his cheese dish. Maybe he liked living a crazy bohemian life. How do I know? Why don't you give up, Collins? The dame had a motive. She had the opportunity. People have been sent to the chair on that much before now.
If Lola Cassidy killed Lincoln, I'll take over her act.
So you think Lola was framed, Greg?
Well, that's the funny part. I don't. She just happens to fill the bill, that's all.
Well, forget about it tonight. We're home.
If only someone knew for sure that Lola spent the night in her apartment last night.
Poor kid. She really is a nice girl, you know.
Yeah, and the crazy part is the only place we'll find the answer to this is in Lincoln's apartment.
I'll make you a nice hot cup of coffee. You'll feel better.
Liquor, cigars, overcoat, and scarf. Yeah. What kind of a setup is that? Bonnet knows he's only got half a case because...
Run, baby, run! The fireworks have started!
When the first shot came, Greg went down as though he'd been hit in the middle with a tank. He lay against the car and tried to push me out of the way. There were two more shots, and then silence. Somehow, Greg got himself on his feet, and we half ran and half staggered up to our apartment.
Wouldn't you know? It starts at a quiet night dancing and ends up like this.
How badly you're hurt, Greg.
There's a lot of life in me yet.
Oh, darling, you're not going to...
The only thing that worries me is that I'm tracking a lot of blood along this corridor.
Oh.
Yeah. The key's in my side pocket. My coat.
I've got it.
So Bonnet thinks Lola shot Lincoln. You know, that's so funny. It makes me laugh.
Just a little more, Greg. Try to swallow the lot.
Oh, if I drink any more of that stuff, you'll have to send for Alcoholics Anonymous. My side.
Well, try not to move, darling. I've got you all strapped up.
Is that where I got shot?
Well, you weren't exactly shot. You were kind of grazed.
You mean all that gore was for a graze?
A deep graze, just over your hip. When I got your shirt off, I could see you weren't going to die. And when I called the doctor, he said the same.
Doctor? Doctor?
It's okay. It was Frank Norman. I told him you were working on a case, so he won't contact the police. Greg, you know, I think we're dealing with a fiend.
I got scars to prove it.
I'm serious. You remember Sergeant Barnett said Lincoln was deliberately shot in the stomach.
Yeah, that's right. And a couple inches to the side, and the same would have happened to me.
Isn't that a fiend?
Either a fiend or a rotten shot.
Oh, I don't like this case.
Yes, I do. It's full of human interest. Like, for instance, we both feel Lola didn't kill Lincoln because she isn't the type. Too much control. But the person who did kill Lincoln is so lacking in control that as soon as I come into the case, they start shooting. So, who's hysterical?
I am. And apart from Lola, Barnett, and me, you don't know anyone who's mixed up in this affair.
Anyhow, I'll report this attempt on my life to Barney. Maybe it'll make him ease up on the girl. And tomorrow we'll have a long talk to Lola about Lincoln's friends. The hysterical ones.
Sergeant Barnett here. Who's calling?
Barney, it's Greg Collins.
Greg Collins? You mean the Greg Collins who wants to make the world safe for fan dances?
Have a heart, will you? Can I help it if I believe in the girl?
My wife believes in fairies. She thinks when she wants a mink coat, all I have to do is wave a wand. The fact that the Weisheim who runs the mink shop won't let you through the door unless you wave $500 don't impress her at all. So don't talk to me about what people believe. I believe in the Grand Canyon, and that's as far as I go. Only one.
I thought you might like to know if someone tried to kill me tonight.
Justifiable homicide.
I'll see here.
Okay, so I'll send a detective over to investigate. But if you're trying to tie the fact that someone tried to kill you with the fact that Lincoln was murdered, you're wasting your time.
Now I know why you wear a snap-brimmed hat. It matches your snap-brimmed brain. Good night. Now we've got to prove that girl's innocent. After that little conversation, I got a feeling the police won't want to renew my license.
No use, Mr. Collins. You've been asking me questions now for 4 hours, and I still can't tell you who'd want to kill Abe.
But there's got to be someone, Lola. Someone who knew him fairly well. And someone who lost their nerve easily.
You think it was a woman, don't you?
It seems fairly likely. And you can't think of anything that would help us?
Not a thing.
Well, that's that, I guess. How are they treating you here, Lola?
Fine. That sergeant, he's sure I did it, but he doesn't bite when he barks.
What about bail? They gonna let you out?
Yeah. The judge said I could get out when someone staked me to $10,000.
Do you know anyone with that kind of dough?
It may surprise you as much as it does me, but I do. There's a guy who works at the same nightclub as me, a comedian. He's going to put up the money.
When will you be out of here, Lola?
In a couple of hours' time. If you want me, you'll find me at the club.
You mean you're going to work?
Keep your chin up, lady. We'll call around tonight to let you know how things are going.
Well, do you still like the case, Hawkshaw?
I'll lay off that stuff with you. I'm worried.
Well, you can say that again. Cops haven't got much of a case against her, or she'd never have gotten bail. We haven't got much of a case either.
There's something about the whole affair that doesn't make sense.
Where to now?
Back to Lincoln's apartment. I keep feeling the answer's there. Take a look at my car, will you? 4 bullet holes in it.
Don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Those holes could have been in your head. They're just about where you were when you fell down on the pavement last night.
Whoever fired at us must have been pretty close. The slugs went through one door and straight out the other. Anyway, like you said, it... Now, that's funny. Through one door and out the other.
So what?
So nothing. That makes everything crazier than before. Let's get over to Lincoln's apartment.
By the time Greg got through at Lincoln's apartment, it was well after 10 at night. Don't ask me what he was doing, because I don't know. All I can tell you is he was thinking. And not liking what he was thinking one little bit. And then, it seemed like he couldn't stand it any longer. He went back to Lola and walked in on trouble. 32 caliber trouble.
Mr. Collins, I'm so glad you've come. I've been hoping and praying you'd get here before they took me away.
Well, lady, will you quit wasting time and get in some street clothes? The DA's waiting for you.
Hey, what goes on here? Barnett, it seems like you're enjoying
it. I'm enjoying nothing. I got a warrant. Do you want to see it?
So you came here looking for evidence, and what did you find?
I found this in the laundry basket in the corner, buried under a pile of clothes.
A gun?
A 32 caliber pistol, the same kind that killed Lincoln. And if you like to wave it under your nose, you'll find it was fired not long ago.
This is what Sergeant Barnett was waiting for, the clincher. The piece of evidence that made it seem Lola was guilty. But Greg had his own evidence. So hold tight, folks. In just a moment, we'll bring you the climax of the case. Dug the murder gun out of Lola's clothes basket. It looked like she was set for a trip to the chair. And I have to confess, it looked that way to me, too.
Lincoln was killed with a gun like that, huh? A 32.
He wasn't poisoned with cyanide.
But it's not my gun. I've never owned a gun in my life.
Tell it to the DA, sweetheart.
You're not going to take her in just because you find a gun in her room, are you?
What should I do? Take her to Coney Island? Miss Cassidy, will you kindly...
No, wait. Now, look, Barney, think about it. Just imagine the scene in Lincoln's apartment.
I don't have to imagine it. She can tell me.
I tell you, I can't. I wasn't there.
Barney, this is going to sound crazy to you. But I'm going to tell you how it was. It was X, the murderer. Sometime before Lincoln got home, X got into Lincoln's apartment.
With a key. Her key.
Not with a key. Through the fanlight over the front door.
Uh-huh.
Okay. X is in with maybe half an hour to spare. So what does he do?
He. Now it's a he.
It almost has to be. You see, he lit himself a cigar. Okay, he sits smoking for a while. Then he feels like a drink. So he pours himself one. Puts the bottle back on the lower shelf. Then soon after, Lincoln arrives. And X shoots him in the stomach. Later, he tries to shoot me and clips my side. He shoots again. And the bullets go straight through my car about 3 feet from the ground. Get that? Straight through. even though you'd expect them to be traveling downwards, into the seat, maybe.
This is all very interesting, except it bores me. Well, what do you expect me to make out of this pile of junk?
Well, when you put it together like that, and when you realize he had to stand on a footstool to reach the cigars, it seems to me Lincoln was shot by a little man.
A little man. A leprechaun, maybe.
Barney, it sounds crazy, but I was thinking...
Well, this will be the car.
Hey, Lola, I just heard tell the police...
No, I won't believe it. There are no little men.
It's a dwarf. A 3-foot-high dwarf.
What? You're crazy. You is my friend. He wouldn't frame me for murder.
Look out. Slam the door, Gail. Don't let him get away.
Okay, Greg.
Hey, what's going on here? I came in because I heard Lola was in more trouble.
Well, someone tell me who this guy is. I think I'm going crazy.
That's Huey Dennis, the littlest comedian in the world. He works at the club here.
He may be the littlest comedian, but he's also the littlest murderer.
You're nuts. I never murdered no one.
He put up the bail for me. Look, I've known Huey since I was a kid in the business.
But it fits. It must be right. How could Collins come up with such a crazy solution and not be right? Dennis, I don't know exactly what we've got on you, but I'm going to have to take you in.
Sure, take me in and see what'll get you. But just before I go, there's one thing I want to take care of.
Greg, he's got a knife.
Dennis, don't be a fool.
She deserves to die. In all the years I've worked with her, she never even noticed me.
Bud, you got one murder on your conscience. Don't try to make it two.
I wasn't going to let him have her. I did for him, then I was going to let her burn.
Okay, Bud. Just take it quietly.
I don't believe it. I just can't believe it. We've always been friends, Huey.
It would have always been the same. Sooner or later, there would have been another Lincoln. I couldn't go on killing people, could I? Don't you see? It had to be her as well. If I was going to get any sleep at night, it had to be her as well. That's why I hid the gun in her clothes basket.
Do you want any more, pal?
No, I don't need any more. Only there are times I hate my job. This is one of them.
Greg?
Yes, honey?
You feel like dancing?
Not much.
You want to go home?
I thought maybe if I stayed here a while, I'd forget myself.
Oh, don't feel too bad. At least an innocent person won't be punished now.
I guess not. Honey, I'm sorry I'm like this. Like Bonnie says, there are times when you don't like your job. But don't worry. I'm not going to get a conscience about this. Shall we try another bottle of champagne?
I don't know about that. My mother always told me to beware of gentlemen who wanted me to drink champagne.
My mother always told me the weight of a woman's heart was with champagne and diamonds and pearls.
Your mother was a very wise woman.
She was?
But I guess I'll just settle for her son. The only diamonds and pearls we'll ever have will be on time payment. At least you're all mine, Mr. Collins. Don't go away. In just a moment, we'll be back with you.
Well, folks, Gator and I hope you enjoyed our adventure, The Pink Lady. Be sure to visit us next time for another Puzzle in Murder, where there is crime and romance. There you'll find Mr.
and Mrs. Collins.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.